Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Welcome to Suffolk Matters, where all of Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News, opinions, and insights you won't hear anywhere else. Filling in for AME President Dan Levler, here's your host, AME's Chief of Staff, Ryan McGarry.
Good morning to our listeners. This is AME Chief of Staff Ryan McGarry filling in for President Dan Levler this morning. With us today, we're joined by AME member Darren Swicky, his wife Kim, and a special guest, Caitlin Michaels, who's here to talk about Caitlin's vision. Looking forward to talking about Caitlin's vision and the great work that the whole family and Caitlin are up to. But before we delve into that, Darren, I just want to start with you, if you wouldn't mind. Because you are an AME member, you provide an essential and vital service to the residents of Suffolk County. What is it that you do for work?
I am a ESD, which is a emergency service dispatcher. We also are certified as EMD, EFD dispatchers. So it's an emergency medical dispatcher, emergency fire dispatcher. We take calls that are directed to us from the police department ECOs. They take the call originally and they drop it down to us. And we interview the callers to find out whether or not they need an ambulance or the fire department. We give instructions on how to take care of the patients before the ambulances get there. We also dispatch the ambulances and fire trucks, keeping track of their on-scene times, their times to the hospital, when they get to the hospital.
That's a lot of important work, Darren. Yeah, so when somebody calls 911, they're in the worst crisis of their life. That's why they're dialing 911. But for you and your colleagues, you're taking those calls all day long. So they call 911, they're waiting for emergency services to arrive on scene. While they're waiting for emergency services to arrive on scene, you and your colleagues are the ones who are dispatching and coordinating those services. You're also talking to the caller and helping them provide, at times, life-saving information and support to a given victim. Is that right?
That's correct. We give CPR instructions. We've given instructions on how to deliver babies, choking instructions, instructions on basic vomiting, you know, how to keep yourself safe, make sure your door is unlocked. If it's a fire, make sure you're in a safe location, close the doors behind you. We try to give as much information as we can to them without being able to see what's going on. It makes it very important for us to stay calm, to be able to keep the caller calm and reassure them that help is coming and that that we're there to help them before they get there.
Right. So you're coordinating with the help that's coming, with the help that's on the way, but you're also providing in the immediate help that they can be doing right there and then while they're waiting for those services to arrive. So extremely important work, extremely essential. Nobody wants to call 911 and not have somebody like you, Darren, on the other end of that call. So you're providing real life, life-saving support, and you're experiencing that secondary trauma because you're hearing the call. You're hearing somebody go through the worst moment of their life while they're on the phone with you. And that trauma, which I'm going to ask you to speak to, is part of the reason why AME pushed so hard for legislation that originally started with an AME member, Assemblyman Joe DiStefano, to get members like you, ESDs, counterparts, ECOs, and PSDs, first responder status. So can you speak a little bit about the trauma that you know is real for yourself and your colleagues and also what that first responder status means for you and your colleagues?
For me, it means a lot. I was an EMT first before I became a dispatcher. Mental health is very important to me. You do hear things that are bothersome. That do affect you. You don't realize it until you try to speak about it.
Right.
I tend to kind of bury it But having a great support system at home, my wife is amazing. Being able to talk to other people, have a support system, and just having that status of a first responder is a huge deal. It opens up more options for us for mental health and receiving the help that we need. It's very important, not just as a dispatcher and hearing it, but for the EMTs and the first responders that see it. I worked in Brooklyn for 6 years, one of the busiest boroughs for the FDNY EMS. We did and we saw so much. And it's a pride thing to not talk about it, but it's also, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to bring it up. I don't know right. how to talk to it. You know, I don't know how to express it. I want to be a man's man. I don't need to talk about it. You know? But it affected me and it affected my family to the point where my wife reached out to friends and said, hey, he had a bad call today. You need to talk to him. So without that support,
you want me to help you?
Yeah.
There you go, Kim. Thanks for jumping
yeah,
in.
Yeah, sure. So having that status and what AME works so hard to be able to get them that first responder status, if you think about it, that dispatcher is literally the first responder. They are the first person that answers that call for help. They are the first ones that deal with those callers and keep them calm, keep them patient, while also having to keep themselves calm, because it's easy to get wrapped up in that emotion of the caller. But to be able to keep themselves calm and the caller calm as well, while they're dealing, like you said, with the worst times of their lives and having to call 911. So having that first responder status means more than most people understand. When we talk about it to people and we say he finally has a first responder status, and they said, why didn't he ever have it before?
100%.
He is the first responder. Him and all of these amazing men and women that work in ESD, they deserved it. And the hard work that AME did for them did not go unappreciated.
No, Kim, thank you. And Darren, thank you. Yeah, we call them the first responders because that's what they are. When they're on that line, they're in the room.
Yeah.
They're in the car. They're in whatever location that caller is in. They might be sitting in the dispatching room. But they're there, they're present, and that emotion is taken through the phone line right into their heart and stays with them. So we are so appreciative that our members have the support network they do of both their union and families like yourselves, Kim.
Yeah.
And we were just so proud that it was our union brother, Joe DiStefano, who originally worked with us on that piece of legislation to get first responder status for these first responders. And then it was a bipartisan effort where we were able to work with former Assemblyman Peter Abate and former Senator John Brooks to get this law passed, get these first responders the recognition they deserve. And it's not just about recognition. It's also about access to the services that are deserved for the work that they do and the training that's deserved for the work they do. And Kim, I know you're no stranger to providing essential and vital services yourselves and unionism yourself, because you're also a public servant. You work for the state, not represented by AME. We'll forgive you for that. But but our dear brothers and sisters over at CSEA, what is it that you do in your capacity as a public servant?
So I am a senior office assistant at the Central Islip High School. I've been there 21 years now. I strongly believe in union membership, union protection, our union rights. We just ratified our contract yesterday, so we're excited for a new 7-year contract over at CSEA.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I absolutely love my job. I love the kids I work with, the staff, the students. It's a great experience.
Excellent. And obviously working in education is important to you because you have some other news. You are running for school board. Is that correct?
Correct. I am running for a trustee of the William Floyd School District School Board.
Fantastic. What got you into that?
Through our work with our daughter, being involved out in the community, working in the school for 21 years, seeing the positivity that comes out of schools, making sure that we have students who are career ready, trade school ready, life ready, making sure that we're doing the right thing by our students, keeping our staff safe, and also making sure that we're making fiscally responsible decisions for our taxpayers, which is ultimately important for many of our community members.
100%. Kim, thank you for your service. And what I'm so excited about, Darren, Kim, you guys being on the show with your daughter, Caitlin, is union household, two union members, two public sector union members living together. And you guys are a testament or an example of what our membership is across the board, right? So in your day jobs, we already talked about the invaluable services you're providing to the community and the residents of our county by the very work you do 40 hours a week, getting up, going to work. You're serving the community. You're providing vital services. And when you're not on the clock, when you're not working, you don't stop serving the community. You're running for school board, or you're helping Caitlin out with Caitlin's vision, which I want to ask you about in a minute. But just for our listeners, my name is Ryan McGarry, Chief of Staff for AME, filling in for President Leveler this morning. We're joined by Darren and Kim Sawicki, their daughter, Caitlin Michaels. And we're here to discuss now Caitlin's vision. So when you're not on your day jobs, you're giving back to the community with this nonprofit named for Caitlin's vision. So Caitlin, if you wouldn't mind, I'm going to kick it to you and tell us a little bit and our listeners a little bit about who you are, some of the things you've gone through, and what Caitlin's vision is.
Okay, I'm going to start Caitlin off. So in 2018, Caitlin was diagnosed with a rare eye disease that we thought was something simple as pink eye. After about 10 days of things only getting worse, we discovered she had something called bilateral anterior uveitis, which is a rare eye disease in children, usually more commonly found in adults and undeveloped countries. We were lucky enough to get her disease under control, get it treated, but she had a problem. Kate, what was the problem that you asked me? What was the question you asked me?
So one day I saw my medical bill, and it was a lot of money for one dosage, and so I asked my mom, like, what happens? Like, how do we afford it? And so we had the whole conversation of, like, insurance and all that. And so then I asked her, like, what happens if you don't have insurance? And so I realized that if they didn't have insurance, then you either couldn't get the medication if you couldn't pay for it, or you just, like, had to figure out how to pay for it. And I didn't like that. So I wanted to help people who couldn't afford for their medication, for that they can get what they need, and for that they're healthy and know what they can get.
That's so beautiful. So instead of worrying about yourself, you're worrying about other kids and in your position.
Yeah.
That speaks to your character and also to your parents' character. So we thank you for having that big heart. Have you been enjoying what you guys have been doing so far?
Yeah, it's been really nice being able to see people who are finally able to get what they need to get.
And tell me about that, Caitlin. How are you helping people get what you need to get, or how are you seeing them receive the services they're in need of?
So lately we've been able to help children who can't afford to get their eyeglasses. So we give them vouchers for that they're able to pay the difference from what their insurance can't pay, because I feel like if they can't get the glasses that they want, they're not going to wear them. So we're able to help them be able to get what they want and able to wear their glasses.
No, that's great, Caitlin. And I think you hit an important component on the head there with because you're a kid yourself, you know what's going through the minds of your peers and what's going through the minds of other kids who are struggling. You know, they don't want to look different. They want to look how they want to look and to get that eyewear that they want to wear and are proud to show off and wear means the world to them. And you're helping them achieve that. And Kim, how are you guys doing that? How can our listeners help out? How do you connect the services that these young children are in need of to the children themselves?
Yeah, so we have a ton of fundraisers every year, one being Saturday night. We're doing pocketbook bingo. That's probably the most fun. We have a gala dinner every August. AME has always been a wonderful supporter of our gala dinner, always sending attendees. We raise money. We provide a scholarship for a child every year, graduating senior, who is either going into the ophthalmology field or who suffers from an eye disease themselves. We have an awareness walk every year, which this year we're changing to a color run. She has Facebook groups. We do QCDs at the end of the year. We receive quite a few of them. We have sponsorship packages. Our website has direct links to make direct financial contributions. But the biggest thing that we use is used eyeglasses. So to date, Caitlin has collected over 5,000 pairs of used eyeglasses. Those eyeglasses are collected, refurbished, and redistributed throughout the entire world. We work with a lot of mission companies and the Lions Club that bring these eyeglasses on missions through all over the world to be able to give people who need them the eyeglasses they need. We're also a partner with the VSP Eyes for Hope, and we can provide vouchers for somebody who does not have vision insurance. Vision insurance is the least accepted insurance for benefits that are offered because people oftentimes think, I'm never going to need glasses. My eyes are fine. Why am I paying for vision insurance?
Right.
First time you got to go to that eye doctor. They see it. So we're able to give those vouchers to people. It will give them a complete comprehensive eye exam, frames and lenses. If there is any out-of-pocket cost after that, Caitlin's Vision will pick up the expense. All they have to do is submit a statement from to us from the doctor or the eyeglass store, and we will reimburse them for it.
That's so fantastic. And I love that you're a nonprofit that's focused on a multi-pronged approach, right? Instead of just being single, I don't want to use the pun, but single-sided or short-sighted, you're tackling the issue in a myriad of ways. So you're collecting actual eyewear and glasses to distribute. So you're securing and procuring these glasses. And you're getting the vouchers so that folks in need of treatment have access to the treatment they need and deserve. And then the third component, which I find so exciting, is the funding of the scholarship program so that you're actually creating a pathway for tomorrow's experts in the field to actually address the underlying issues that lead to vision problems. So if not to get to them before they develop, but then at least treat them. So can you tell me a little bit more about the scholarship program and how that impacts the greater work that you guys are doing?
Sure. So just this weekend, Caitlin hosted her first Young Women's Empowerment Conference. We had 30 young women from all over Long Island that came and heard from former Police Commissioner Jerry Hart. They took CPR classes, self-defense, a whole myriad of classes. It was amazing. And while we were talking with some of these girls, we were asking, hey, you know, what are your dreams? What are you looking for? And one girl said, I want to be an eye doctor. And we said, oh, stop right there. We have something for you. So they can email us. There's a scholarship essay program. But one of the biggest issues we had when Caitlin was first diagnosed was finding a doctor that would treat her. So we traveled every day to Mineola for her doctor's appointment. She would need to be seen every day to make sure that she was not going blind because it can happen in an instant for her. After that, we wanted somebody closer to home. There was only two doctors in New York State that we could see that was qualified to treat her.
Two doctors in the whole state.
Yeah.
And just imagine what it's like for the rest of the country that doesn't have access to the services New York does.
Yep. We know that we're lucky. So we, but to be able to encourage these young people that are getting into college and what they want to do with their life, going into the ophthalmology field is not easy. So if we can help provide a little bit of assistance for them going into college and to also get more kids interested in that field is helpful.
No, that's fantastic. And you mentioned former police commissioner Jerry Hart being involved and supportive of the charity, great leader for our region. I also know everywhere I see Caitlin's Vision, I see our dear friend, Sheriff Errol Toulon, a great civil servant. How did that relationship develop, and how do you work with the sheriff? Caitlin, I know you're a big fan.
Yeah. We met one day for Girl Scouts when they did
open house,
and I went there for Girl Scouts because they did a booth there and stuff. So I went there and I met him, and ever since then I started Caitlin's Vision, and we decided to like talk to him about how to start it and all that stuff. And we played Uno. For that, we could break the ice, and sadly, he beat me.
I was going to ask who won, so.
Yeah, badly.
Well, who wins every time you play
Uno? He does. Every time we meet, we always play Uno, and he always beats me.
Wow, he doesn't take it easy on anyone, huh?
And he thinks it's so funny when it's really not.
It's not funny?
No, it's not.
What did you tell him?
That we need to go to therapy because I don't think it's a healthy relationship anymore, and so we're going to therapy.
Well, next time I see our dear friend the sheriff, I will be sure to reiterate that message that you find your very productive partnership to becoming an unhealthy relationship because he's not a fair player at Uno.
No.
Do you think he sneaks wild cards into his
best pocket? No, because he doesn't even know what they are.
We even tried tricking him this time, and we used Braille Uno cards, and he still beat her.
It's getting upsetting now.
I'm sorry to hear that. Well, hopefully next time you play, you will be victorious. And hopefully. No, it's just so amazing that you have, all jokes aside, such a supportive partnership with such an influential sheriff. He's so widely respected and rightfully so. He's a pleasure to deal with on our end at AME as we represent the civilian workforce there. And again, for our listeners, I'm Chief of Staff for AME, Ryan McGarry, filling in for President Dan Leveler. With us today are Darren and Kim Sawicki, their daughter, Caitlin Michaels. And again, we're talking about the great work of Caitlin's vision. You have some upcoming events. There's a pancake breakfast in April. What's going on there? How can people get some information?
April 2nd is our pancake breakfast at the Mastic Fire Department. It is on our social media. We are just getting through our conference and an upcoming fundraiser this week, and then we'll really be pushing the information out. Tickets are $12.
That's in
$10 for
in partnership with the fire department's youth squad.
The fire explorers fire from Mastic. We're going to be partnering with them.
Yeah, they're going to be also having their own fundraiser to raise money for what they need as well.
Oh, that's great. And how did that partnership develop with the Mastic Fire Department and the explorers?
When Caitlin first started Caitlin's vision, it started by her simply writing a letter to her local legislator. And her legislator was Rudy Sunderman. And Rudy picked up that phone immediately when she wrote the letter and said, let's get to work. They worked together on passing Caitlin's law in Suffolk County, which designates the month of August as Children's Eye Health and Safety Awareness Month. Since then, they've become like best friends. So everything that we want to do, he's so fully supportive. He was our fire department chief, and now he is fire commissioner for the Mastic Fire Department. So he's always right on board. They allow us to hold our blood drives there that we do twice a year. Anything that we need help with, we partner with them for our Trunk or Treat, which has thousands of kids come every year at the William Floyd High School. So when we spoke to Rudy, he said, let's keep it at the kid level. So we did. What's better than Caitlin and the fire explorers?
And the explorers. That's great. And that's great to know that Legislator Sunderman, even though he's been succeeded now by Legislator Mazzarella, he's still very much involved and in helping you guys out and still an instrumental partner. That's great to hear that it's a matter of heart. And then you already mentioned the color run in June. Do we have a date for that yet, or should folks?
That we're going to stay tuned on. We just had our board meeting last night. We are looking at July 15th, but nothing's kind of been set in stone about that exactly.
All right, great. And you mentioned your social media. Where can folks find the social media for Caitlin's vision? What's the website? How can folks stay tuned to everything you guys are doing?
So Facebook is Caitlin's Vision. It's Caitlin with a C. And our Instagram is Caitlin's Vision as well. We have a website, caitlinsvision.org, which is updated with all of our great activities. Anybody who needs assistance can go right onto our website and just simply click a button, request assistance.
That is fantastic. And if you want to mind, just Caitlin is Caitlyn. That's correct. So Caitlin's Vision. They're doing amazing work in the community. Caitlin is with us in the studio. Some big news came out of a recent board meeting, and Caitlin, I think you have a story to tell. You were recently in the hospital, and what happened?
So I was recently in the hospital, and I was getting my infusions done, and next door I heard a little girl crying, and she kept saying that she wants to go home, and she doesn't feel comfortable here, and she doesn't have her friends, and she wants her mom, and I know how that feels, because I'm always in the hospital, because I'm chronically ill, too. And I know how she felt, and I know, and I wanted to help her, and I wanted to be able to make her comfortable in the hospital.
So once again, the conversation happened with Mommy, how do we help these kids as well?
Once again, her heart is shining through.
Yeah, for sure. And I said, I don't know, when you're in there, what can help you? And she said, we need to make a bag that will make these children feel comfortable. You know, when we're in the hospital with Caitlin, it's usually planned. But so many of these chronically ill children, they are unplanned. They go into the emergency room. They are then talking to them about being admitted. And it's, whoa, wait a minute, being admitted. I'm not prepared for that. I don't have pajamas. I don't have a toothbrush. Hospital gowns are not so comfortable.
A simple teddy bear help comfort.
Yeah.
Right.
So outside of what the Child Life Services offer, which is an amazing program, Caitlin wants to offer a bag that will be given to every parent and every child that is admitted who is chronically ill. They will have a pair of pajamas, thanks to a new partnership with EJ's PJs.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. They will have toothbrush, deodorant, a deck of cards, just things that will make them comfortable for a one-night stay until family members can bring them up. Their stuff from home, their regular toothbrush and regular pajamas, it makes them, that scariest night is always that first night.
Yeah.
So if we can help make them feel a little bit more comfortable when they're in the hospital, that's what Caitlin wants to do.
No, that's so beautiful. And you mentioned EJ's PJs, and that's what an exciting partnership for us at AME, because we support both organizations and obviously have close ties. And it's yet again an example of AME members giving back in their free time. And that's why Kim, Darren, Caitlin, I want to thank you guys so much for coming in today. Again, I'm Chief of Staff for AME, Ryan McGarry, filling in for President Dan Levler. And we've been talking and having a great conversation about how our union members, our AME members, our brothers and sisters like you, Kim, and CSEA serve their community every single day, whether it's as a first responder like you, Darren, or as somebody working in a school district, Central Islip, like you, Kim. You guys serve the community every single day. And when you're not doing that, when you're off the clock, you're giving back to the community. You're working and founding nonprofits like Caitlin's Visions or EJ PJs. And then you're even looking to serve the community more, because I know we mentioned this before briefly, Kim, but you're running for school board. When is that vote? And it's William Floyd School District, correct?
Correct. Yep. William Floyd School District, running for the board trustee. And the vote is May 16th.
That's great. That's coming up. We wish you all the luck. Guys, thank you so much for coming in. Thank you for your service and the invaluable contributions you make to the people of Suffolk County. We appreciate it. And for our listeners, we'll see you next week with the return of President Dan Levler. Thank you.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.